Dog up in Minnesota.
You're seated. We've talked about the excellence of praise last week, and we talked about the exercise of praise, and we're going to finish that up a little bit. We should review the day with Him. Every morning we ought to review the day with Him. And the faithful every night. There is something appropriate about linking the morning and the consideration of God's loving kindness and the evening with the consideration of His faithfulness. At the end of the day, looking back over its crowded events, I try to note all the things that that happen to me if I'm doing this or doing that, and it reminds me if I go back and see where to go. Every month I do at least one of these, and I have some very appropriate information on the back that I've got to do, and then my daily deal, I put like today, I put the 24th of October, and then this is what I did. I got up and took Marcia over to Belt, to our son's place and daughter-in-law's place, and I got back and did Beck benefices. I did it so I could go do those, preach there, and then I went to the Highgate, and then I had to do some things at Harley-Davidson. That's always important.
Yeah.
It's always important to stop at Harley-Davidson. You know what Harley-Davidson means? HD, $100, $100. That's all they want, a little more $100, amen. And I had to do some work there and get some things done over there. And then I had to come back to the office. I had to get the water sample for our church. We've got a problem with electrical wire up in the, so our copier's not working. Have you found that out yet? And hopefully at 8:30 there's an electrician coming to see me, and we're going to hopefully get that thing taken care of. And I called another guy about it. And then I was in my office doing some studying, and then Brother Brown stopped in, talked to me, and interrupted me from my study. And then Chad and Marcia had a problem with their hunter, and so they had to come in, drop Mom off, and take off. But anyway, that's kind of part of what my little says thing is doing. Well, you know what? Today I was sitting, and after I had came home and I put Marcia to take a little nap, I started writing things down, what God had done for me today. And I got so tickled. I got so tickled that I was waiting for this thing from FedEx to come. And I just didn't know, you know, you just never know when they're going to come. And I just happened to come home from doing the sample of the watering. And I just came in, I was doing something else, got a phone call, and all of a sudden, here's FedEx. And I said to God, God, you are so amazing. If I had just been 3 minutes 3 minutes later from the post office, I would have never been here because, buddy, I was heading out. It's amazing. And I just come unscrewed. I just did. I had a spell. I thank God. I praise the Lord. Woke up my wife and all that other stuff, you know. But I'm telling you, God is good. God is good. He answers my prayer. And a man every day ought to do that in the morning or at night. Just before you go to bed, you ought to write down some things that, boy, God is good. God is good. I got a phone call today. God is good. I got another phone call from somebody. God is good. God working in our lives. God doing all these different things. Good night. This is real. And I sat down. I got done praising. I spilled coffee all over my notes here. And I thought, what's it? And I griped. I didn't wipe it down. On my cell phone, and I mean, just on my shirt. And, you know, but I thought, that's what it is. All these wonderful things that God has done for us. We ought to remember them, amen? And then the stupid little thing of spilling coffee on your notes that you worked on. That just almost zapped all that fun. And I said, no, 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 Mr. Devil. You ain't going to pull that kind of junk. I said, praise the Lord, glory to God, hallelujah. The phone's still working, amen? I know it is because people call me on it afterwards. And it cleaned the screen. Well, I didn't know coffee really cleans a good screen on your phone, amen? Maybe I got a good thing going. But anyway, it's amazing how that we sometimes forfeit the blessings of God because some stupid little spill of coffee would ruin our whole thing. I've sat at families' homes and sat down to eat, and all of a sudden one of them rambunctious little kids spills over his milk, and all World War III takes over. They're bombarding and killing and slaughtering and everything for a stupid little glass of milk. And here's the thing. If I spill it over, they say, "Oh, Pastor, that's all right, I'll get it." And your kid spills it, I'm going to kill you. I brought you in this world, I'm going to take you out of this world. Hey, whoa, 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 whoa. They're little guests, okay? Your children are guests. You'll have them. Maybe till 18 years old, or be like 16. And leave. And they're gone. And they meet a girl or meet a boy. And they're married. They got their own family. And you'll hardly see them again. Isn't that right, Grandma? So enjoy them while they're there. And treat them as guests. Because they are guests and gifts of God to you. Amen. Be very careful how you treat your children. You ought to treat your children just like you would treat your guest. I hope that's good. He said, we ought to be considering the things that happened to us. He said, at the end of the day, look back over the crowded events. The accident in the kitchen. The little word of a testimony. That loss of job. That promotion at work. That tough exam. You know what? You can thank God for his faithfulness. We can thank him. Not perhaps for giving us what we sought for. Sometimes it's good that we don't get what God wants, that we want. It's better to want something to have than have something you can't get rid of, amen. You can take that anywhere you want. We want him not perhaps for, but for giving us what is best for us. Secondly, thirdly, I want you to look at the exuberance of praise. Here's 92 verse 3. There are times when we praise will not be denied. Times when it wells up like the flood tides in your soul. When like Jordan at harvest time, it overflows its banks. It depends on expression. There are times when, like the hymn writer writes and cries, "Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing my great Redeemer praise." Hey, does your heart ever well up like that? What's it take for you to praise the Lord? Hey, I thought we were supposed to be Christians. I thought we were supposed to acknowledge the fact that God is still on the throne and that God loves us and God takes care of us and God supplies our needs and God answers our prayers. And when he does, we ought to shout glory, hallelujah. Or as Brother Rudy Smith said, hallelujah. We ought to be so tickled what God does in our life. We just get so complacent. We get so many blessings, we just, oh, whatever. We start expecting. Yeah. Expecting the blessings of God. We don't deserve anything, amen?
Amen.
First of all, if you're taking notes, A, praise can be blissful. Upon an instrument of 10 strings upon the psalmistry. Bring on the music. Strike up the orchestra. Pull out the stops. Music is a great aid to praise. And by the way, in many places in the Word of God, it says, praise the Lord with a loud noise. Everybody says, shh. I was preaching at the rest home the other day, and this lady said, "You're too loud." And just the week before, guess what I was? "You're too soft." Well, you can please most of the people most of the time, or whatever. There are times when the emotions are too full for words, when the heart takes over, and only when we can express ourselves with an instrument. What is in the soul has to come out of the feet and the fingers, one guy said. Most of us our two stayed in public worship to clap our hands. The Orientals had no such inhibitions. If they wanted to be praised, if they wanted to praise, they'd surround the orchestra and make a joyful noise. Praise can be blissful. They just get around them, just clapping happy, happy. But praise must be balanced. Upon the harp with a, what? Talked about this a little bit. Solemn sound. The word here, solemn, means it's the sound of hagion, a word which means in three Psalms, 9:16 and 19:14 and 92:3, the word actually denotes a soliloquy or a meditation. We must not get carried away with the music. We must balance it with meditation. John Phillips wrote, he said, I was shocked one time to hear a pastor in the church call upon the people to give Jesus a good clap. You know, give Jesus a round of applause. I heard one guy said, give it up for Jesus, amen. Well, they're trying to get him to clap, you know. And the people gave him a round of applause like going to a pop star. That is excess and sense of balance. We remind us that he is the one before whom the shining seraphim hide their face because of his burning holiness. Too many people are getting too reckless and too, familiar with Jesus. Too familiar. Kind of like to walk up and pat him on the back and say, hey, dude. You know. God is a magnificent God. He's a powerful God. He's an awesome God. He is a God to be feared, a God to be loved. And we take it so for granted that we think that we'll bring him down to our level. By the way, you'll never bring him down to your level. You never want to bring Jesus down to our level. He is God. He's Jehovah. The music is only the vehicle, the mediation, the words are the important thing. Let us never become flippant and irreverent in our emotional excitement. It is only a short step from uncontrolled bliss to blasphemy. I want to be careful about that. I pray to God. The Heritage Baptist Church always is very careful about its music.
Amen.
I pray that we're always careful about making sure that we don't have entertainment up here, but that we would bring people to worship and praise God because of the music was said that would warm our hearts and say, you know what, that's preparing me to listen to the preaching of the Word of God.
Amen.
That's what music is about. It's preparing our hearts. Music is a very powerful, powerful stimulant. If you don't believe it, go down to the grocery store, and all of a sudden, one of them oldie but goodies, when you were a teenager in high school, starts playing, and all of a sudden, your brain goes back to the place that you were at and what you're doing, and who you're with, which is scary. That's how powerful music is. And would to God that we would have music at Heritage Baptist Church that would always promote the Heavenly Father, that would always bring glory and awe, may I say, to Him, and that we'd say, you know what, my heart's getting ready to hear the Word of God. Or you can get some boys up here and just, you know, let it rip, and boy, you just, you know. By the way, I like some good old hillbilly music. I guess that was, it's all right. Did you hear about the guy that had a problem with his CD and it started running backwards? It was the country music. His wife came back, dog came back, truck started, and whatever. I'm just kidding. I just made that up. All right. Then he goes to number four, the exhaustfulness of praise. You can't praise God enough. Verses 5 and 6. Excuse me, 4 and 5. The fact that we have so many hymn books is proof enough that when it comes to praising the Lord, there's no end to the ways which we can express ourselves. The psalmist suggests these two great themes. First of all, the things his hands have performed and the things his heart has planned for us. That's incredible. Any time I'm out at a bookstore, I think, first thing I go to the illustrations. If I can find any kind of illustration book or if I can find any biography, man, I just scoop them up. And then I look for music. And I look for old quartet music and old gospel music. And you know what? It's getting hard to find. I can go into the rest home today like I did at Benefice at Beck and went into Highgate, and I can sing some old songs, and all them old people know those songs by heart. But I'm going to tell you something, you young preachers, you're going to have a real hard time going into these rest homes when these 60, 50 and 60 and 70 year old people go in there, because they're not going to know the power and the blood. They're not going to know on the cross. They're not going to know all these old songs. They're going to know them. They have all these quote praise songs. They call them 7-11. Seven words. They sing 11 times. They're chants. They're get you all rile the tribe. You know, just get you going. Instead of saying, hey, you grab that old songbook. And I dare you if you won't get thrilled when you're reading it. Brightly beams our Father's mercy from the lighthouse evermore. But to us he gives the keeping of the lights along the shore. Dark the night of sin has settled. Loud the angry billows roll. Eager eyes are watching, longing for the lights along the shore. Trim your feeble lamp, my brother. Some poor sailor, tempest-tossed, trying now to make the harbor, in the darkness may be lost. Let the lower lights be burning. Send a gleam across the wave. Some poor fainting, struggling seaman, you may rescue, you may say, boy, what a tremendous song for soul winning. You know, just all these amazing old songs in here.
They got substance.
They got substance. They got meat. I adore him. Oh, I adore him. Oh, I really adore him. I adore him. I adore him. Amen. 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 What do you get out of that? What doctrinal? What do you get? It may be in the valley where countless dangers hide. It may be in the sunshine that I in peace abide. But this one thing I know, if it be dark or fair, if Jesus is with me, I'll go anywhere. It may be in the, I must carry the blessed word of life across the burning desert to those in sinful strife. And though it be my lot to bear my colors there, if Jesus goes with me, I'll go anywhere. These are just great old songs. Marvelous message we bring. Glorious carol we sing. Wonderful word of the King. Jesus is coming again. Forest and flower exclaim. Mountains and meadows the same. All earth and heaven proclaim Jesus is coming again. Standing before him at last. Trials and trouble all past. Crown at his feet we will cast. Jesus is coming again. Isn't that incredible? I mean, just powerful stuff. And it's got meat. I don't know about tomorrow. I just live from day to day. I don't borrow from the sunshine, from the skies may turn to gray. Every step is getting brighter, and the golden stairs I climb. Every burden's getting lighter. Every cloud is silver lined. I don't know about tomorrow. It may bring me poverty. But the one who feeds the sparrow is the one who stands by me. I mean, get your songbook. You know, some of you say, oh, preacher, I need a daily devotional or something. You know what? Get your Bible and get the songbook. And just read it. I mean, it'll ring your bell. It'll get you excited. Get excited about the Lord Jesus Christ. All the things he's done for us. Well, the things, he talks about the things his hands have performed, verses 4 and 5a. For thou, Lord, hath made me glad through thy works. I will triumph in the works. That's not talking about a motorcycle, right? I will triumph in the works of thy hands, O Lord. How great are thy works. He says, you know, we should praise God in the creation. If you've been out hunting lately and see what God can do. Hey, I don't know about you, but I know I really like rain better than snow, okay? I really do. But that snow, when it gets up on the high woods and little belts and on the Big Belt Mountains and on the Rocky Mountain front, there's never a picture so beautiful in the world. And all of that's good tracking, amen. The earth rotates. This thing. You know, the earth rotates 1,000 miles per hour. I'm wondering, how come we don't get slung off here, man? 1,000 miles an hour. If it turned at 100 miles per hour, our days and nights would be 10 times as long. The sun would burn all the vegetation up in daytime, and the frost would kill anything that remained at night. Aren't you glad it goes 1,000 miles an hour? If the sun were twice as hot, or half as hot as it is, the world would be a red-hot cinder or a sphere of eternal ice. I suppose the earth were much closer to the sun than it is, or much farther again, life would be impossible because of the forbidden temperatures. The proportion of the sea and the land is 3/4 sea and 1/4 land. If the proportion had been any different, there would not be enough sufficient evaporation for rainfall, and the world would become a desert. Thank God for creation, amen. Thank God for his hand in doing all that. We could go on, and God has carefully balanced all the factors. Think of your body. Thank God it only goes 96.7, or 98.7. What is it, 98.7? Thank God it's always that. Some people just be burning up all the time. Your body is amazing. It's an amazing thing. Just thousand little cells and just an inch of your... It's incredible. How our blood works and how all these other things work. Thank God it heals. You know, it's amazing. Our eyes. I get so tickled about my eyes, I can't stand myself. Just, you know, I do a lot of photography. We used to do a lot of photography work, and you're always messing around with the aperture and always messing around with the, you know, and you're making sure it's focused, and then you focus close, and then you go to infinity and beyond. And I wouldn't say that. Infinity and beyond. And my favorite cartoon, amen. But anyway, you think of that. And I can be looking at my sermon here, and I can look up, and I'm focused. You guys out hunting, you're looking down, and you're seeing all of a sudden you look up, way out there you see them. It's usually way out there. And amazing. Aren't you glad about your eyes? Aren't you glad about your feet? Aren't you glad you have a big toe? If you don't have a big toe, you'd be wobbling around. Thank God that gives you balance, even. Thank God for this thumb. One time I hurt my thumb, and I was trying to put my shirt button my shirt at the top so I could wear on one of them clip-on ties. And, man, I couldn't hardly do it. I about cried getting that thing done. I thought, man, oh, man, you're a pretty important little guy. You better protect yourself, buddy. Can you imagine putting your, like this? How about screwing a nut on a bolt? I know one thing you can do without your thumb, but anyway. aren't we glad? Isn't it wonderful? Hey, aren't you glad you have eyebrows? I had a friend of mine back in South Dakota. He was in World War II, and something happened. He lost all his hair. I mean, he didn't look like he was a swimmer, you know. Just, it was all gone. Eyebrows, everything. No eyelashes, nothing. Man, he'd always have this sweatband on his head. One day I said, man, where are you wearing this? Oh, I said, man. He said, I lost my God-given Eve spouts. When it sweats, your sweat comes down the side. And even like the little winkers in your eyes, what do you call them? Eyelashes. You know, bug come at you. You can catch it, amen. And then when you get something in you, they're great. They're removable stuff. You just pull them over. Get it out, amen. Hey, aren't you glad about your ears? We're really hindered if we don't have ears. Boy, I'll tell you what, I take my hearing aids off. I can't hear nothing. Thank God for hearing aids. But they're nothing like the real ear. We have so much to be thankful for. Hey, why don't you just praise the Lord tonight? Why don't you just, God, you are so good to me. So spoiled. We don't deserve a thing, but God just keeps giving and giving and giving and giving. Except he doesn't give any more time to other people than he gives to you, and it's time to quit. So let's stand and be dismissed.